Good morning and welcome to the Big Savings on Industrial Electric Bills, a key benefit of energy efficiency investments associated with climate policies. My name is Brandon and I'll be your operator for today. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question and answer session. Please note this conference is being recorded and I will now turn it over to Kevin Kennedy. You may begin, sir.
Thank you. And good morning, everyone. My name is Kevin Kennedy, and let me welcome you to a joint news conference of the Georgia Institute of Technology School of Public Policy, as well as the Alliance for Industrial Efficiency. Today, we'll be releasing the conclusions of two new studies that document the significant benefits of industrial energy efficiency investments associated with federal and state climate policies like the EPA's Clean Power Plan. Featured on today's call will be Dr. Marilyn Brown, the Brooke Byers Professor of Sustainable Systems at the Georgia Tech School of Public Policy. We're also joined by Jennifer Kiefer, Executive Director of the Alliance for Industrial Efficiency, a coalition of business, labor, and nonprofit organizations advocating for policies that increase U.S. manufacturing competitiveness through industrial energy efficiency. Kiefer has more than 12 years of experience providing legal and political expertise, strategic analysis, and advice to nonprofits, corporations, and cities on a range of subjects, including climate, energy, and other environmental issues. She and the Alliance have released a separate report ranking states for their potential to reduce carbon pollution through industrial energy efficiency measures. Both Dr. Brown and Ms. Kiefer will walk through the results of their respective reports, which demonstrate that manufacturers are in a position to yield huge savings and increase competitiveness through use of energy efficiency spurred by federal and state climate policies. In addition to the report authors, we will be joined today by Eleanor Hader, Vice President of Communications and Public Affairs at Veolia North America, a multinational energy and environmental services company. Eleanor has 20 years of experience in both the energy and finance sectors, and prior to her tenure at Veolia, Ms. Hader was the CEO of Nova Thermal Energy. She has also served in a capacity as Deputy Commerce Director and Chief of Staff for the City of Philadelphia's Economic Development Department. Ms. Hader will offer a manufacturer and business perspective today on the value of climate policies that drive energy efficiency investments by manufacturers. And with those introductions, let me now turn the call over to Dr. Marilyn Brown.
Thank you very much, Kevin. Good to be here, and thanks, everybody, for listening. I wanted to give you just a little bit of history on the Georgia Tech study, which was initiated 2 years ago, June of 2014, when the draft Clean Power Plan was first proposed. And it's been funded by Georgia Tech, and it initially focused principally on compliance pathways for the South, but then when the Clean Power Plan was finalized and the rule released in October, a year ago, we expanded our focus to a national perspective and have produced a series of reports, the latest one, which focuses on the industrial sector. So just starting broadly, our clean power pathways that emerged from looking at models of how to comply with a clean power plan settled on a least cost compliance strategy that has a heavy dose of energy efficiency. And I want to walk through why that was the case. First of all, we're able to use a curve of demand growth to accelerate the retirement of coal plants, but also to dial back on the scaling up of large natural gas plants, these billion-dollar plants that are otherwise going to have to be built in order to meet the demand of a growing economy. If we can instead shrink our energy consumption requirements, we can avoid this legacy of new gas plant infrastructure development and provide a more affordable transition to a low-carbon electricity sector. So over the past 2 months, we've marched through first the household sector. We looked at the implications of efficiency there, the commercial sector or business sector, and then industry. I wanted to highlight, if you don't mind, the household sector findings, which focused on the ability of energy efficiency to tackle the energy burden of American households. So there our focus was on this sort of unlikely consensus that is emerging in the U.S. today between utility regulators and environmental advocates that we must keep energy bills affordable as we transition to a low-carbon economy. And in the Georgia Tech research, we were able to show electricity bill savings of $161 billion across the U.S. in the year 2030, which, of course, means a lot of household consumption can be redirected to household goods that have previously been spent on electricity and energy bills. In the commercial or business sector, we look more at the impact of CO2 mitigation strategies with a focus on efficiency at curbing the impact of them on curbing urban air pollution. And here we examined the value of SOx, NOx reduction and smog reduction that comes hand in glove with an abatement of CO2 through energy efficiency investments. So as you make commercial buildings, offices, schools, hospitals, and government buildings more efficient, then these billion-dollar costs to Americans are dialed back, with, of course, significant impacts on health, reduction of childhood asthma, and avoidance of ecosystem damage. And then the third sector, which is the focus today of industrial energy efficiency, focuses more on benefits to the economy. Here we're looking at energy efficiency and cleaner sources providing a way for manufacturers to be more competitive, not less, to try to tackle that myth that seems so pervasive in the media today. So many business owners and industry leaders appreciate that they're motivated not just by tackling environmental regulation, but also by the potential for cost savings and new customers, higher staff retention, and good publicity that comes from using more efficient processes in their industrial systems. If we were, as a country, to adopt the efficiency push that's in this Georgia Tech clean power pathway, the savings would be tremendous. In 2030, we estimate $39 billion of utility bills to be avoided. And that's money that could be spent on plant modernization and improving products and on all of that having favorable impacts on local jobs. As you dial back your consumption of energy from central station power plants, you're displacing jobs that are spent producing electricity and distributing natural gas, which often are out-of-state industries, and they are industries that have a very low labor to a capital ratio. So you don't lose that many jobs. You gain a lot of jobs in the energy efficiency arena as you put workers to use in these energy efficiency transformations. So here we're looking at industrial enterprises being able to tap into new markets, not just for not just those expanded through efficiency improvements and cost reductions, but also the market for emission rate credits and carbon allowances. In 2030, there's going to be a robust national market. The Clean Power Plan authorizes this, and those industries and companies that generate substantial electricity efficiency improvements will be able to sell those credits into this market, which from some accounts will be several billion dollars long by 2030. So looking at our households and our business and commercial and industrial reports over the past several months, you can see that we're not leading with CO2 and needing to save the planet. Rather, we're leading with all of these very important co-benefits that are drivers for action and the aside that these actions also are very good for the environment. So with that, I think I'd like to turn it over to Jennifer, and then subsequently to Eleanor, who's going to add a little bit more detail and flesh to these sort of numerical findings. Thank you.
And now Jennifer Kiefer.
Wonderful. Thank you, Kevin and Marilyn. It's a great way to tee up our report, which has very similar complementary findings. Again, my name is Jennifer Kiefer, and I'm the executive director of a group called the Alliance for Industrial Efficiency. We are a diverse coalition of business, labor, contractor, and environmental organizations that work together to support policies to advance industrial energy efficiency generally, but with a particular focus on combined heat and power and waste heat to power. By using a single fuel source to generate both heat and electricity, combined heat and power is twice as efficient as traditional power generation, and a waste heat to power facility captures otherwise vented heat from an existing industrial process to generate additional electricity with no incremental emissions. One of our members, Veolia North America, one of the world's leading combined heat and power developers, will provide more details about the benefits of these technologies. What I'd like to focus on over the next few minutes, though, are the findings from our recent report, which we released just last week, that looks at the economic and environmental benefits of investing in industrial energy efficiency. Our report is a state ranking of potential carbon dioxide emission reductions through industrial efficiency, and it provides a 50-state rank of potential for industrial efficiency, including combined heat and power and waste heat to power, to reduce carbon emissions. We found that the largest opportunities for industrial efficiency to reduce emissions are in manufacturing states, particularly those in the Southeast and the Midwest, with the top 10 states for the greatest total carbon emission reductions potential being Texas, Ohio, Illinois, Indiana, Pennsylvania, Kentucky, Michigan, California, Georgia, and Alabama. Though opportunities exist in every state and are laid out in detail in the appendix to our report, where we provide the emissions reductions and the potential bill savings for businesses, there are also fact sheets for each of those 10 states available through our website. Our report found that businesses can slash their emissions and save money on their electricity bills at the same time. We found that nationwide, industrial energy efficiency can reduce annual carbon emissions by about 175 million tons in 2030. That's equal to the emissions from about 46 coal-fired power plants, or almost one-third of the reductions that are called for in EPA's Clean Power Plan. So clearly, industrial efficiency is a very valuable tool for lowering emissions. But we also found that the dollar savings that come from these changes would be huge. Businesses could save $298 billion on their utility bills because of the energy savings from industrial energy efficiency and combined heat and power. So you might be wondering, why does this matter? Well, it matters for two reasons. One is because of the very important connection between industry and energy. The industrial sector uses a lot of electricity. In fact, it is the single largest energy user in the United States, representing about one-third of U.S. energy use. And that electricity use has a huge impact on everything from utility bills to carbon emissions. So if we're looking to tackle climate change, it's impossible to do so without also taking into account the emissions coming from the industrial sector and partnering up with those businesses. Second, states are considering policies to help implement the Clean Power Plan and other planning for the electricity sector. While the Clean Power Plan explicitly addresses emissions from the utility sector, industry has a huge opportunity to help utilities meet those targets. And our report shows that by promoting industrial energy efficiency, we can have huge energy savings, and that the industrial sector specifically would be a good place for states to focus attention. Now, notably, energy use, and therefore emissions, from the industrial sector are projected to grow. By 2025, industrial emissions are projected to increase by 18%. So So again, given that projected increase, it's virtually impossible to address climate change while ignoring industrial emissions. Let me give you an example of a company that we showcase in our report that's already saving energy and money by participating in an industrial efficiency program. The company is Nissan Brake, an Ohio-based manufacturer that makes auto parts. They've partnered with their utility, AEP Ohio, since 2008 to install a suite of energy efficiency improvements, including compressed air, manufacturing and equipment upgrades, and changes to their chiller. They estimate that they have saved $3.4 million while putting in only $1.7 million. What's more, a good chunk of that $1.5 million or $1.7 million is coming from the utility. So that's a pretty good return on investment. We're hoping that policymakers will take what happened for Nissan Brake and find ways to apply it across the country. State policymakers can work with manufacturers to lower emissions and save money by strengthening utility programs and including industrial energy efficiency in their compliance plans. The bottom line is that there's a huge opportunity to make industry more efficient so that states can save energy and reduce carbon emissions while simultaneously cutting customer bills. And that's one opportunity we can't afford to pass up. With that, I'll turn things over to Kevin and ultimately to Eleanor.
Thanks, Jennifer. Let me now introduce Eleanor Heider, Vice President of Communications and Public Affairs at Veolia North America.
Great. Thanks, Kevin. As a global company over the past 160 years, Veolia has been creating integrated energy infrastructure and environmental solutions. We've got 170,000 employees and $30 billion in revenue worldwide. In North America, our 8,000 employees ensure the reliable and efficient supply of energy with over 500 megawatts of owned and operated combined heat and power, or CHP, and we also have the largest portfolio of district energy systems, many of which use CHP. I want to thank Jennifer Kiefer for her leadership at the Alliance for Energy Industrial Efficiency, where Veolia North America is a member, and thanks, of course, to Dr. Brown also for the Georgia Institute of Technology study. We care about CHP because conventional power generation is incredibly inefficient. More than two-thirds of fuel inputs are lost from our smokestacks as wasted heat and never converted to useful energy. The energy that's lost annually in the U.S. from wasted heat and power generation is actually greater than the total energy use in the country of Japan. So this inefficiency impacts the environment, it costs consumers, and it harms American competitiveness. Veolia's success with CHP demonstrates its potential for industrial efficiency. By making use of both heat and electricity from a single fuel source, CHP dramatically increases the fuel efficiency and reduces our carbon impact. As one of the U.S.'s leading owners and operators of CHP, our customers benefit from energy efficiency and also from resiliency. At universities, hospitals, biotech, R&D, and other critical facilities. I'm going to give an example of that, of our CHP and industrial energy efficiency, and in particular the resiliency impacts there. The benefits of this were on stark display during the $70 billion Superstorm Sandy in October 2012. While nearly 8 million residents across the Mid-Atlantic lost power, those with resilient CHP systems kept the lights on. There's no more illustrative case than New York University, where Veolia has played a critical role implementing combined heat and power. NYU has two campuses in Manhattan. 10 years ago, Veolia managed NYU's expansion of its Washington Square campus energy plant using combined heat and power. While I'm certain all of you remember, the majority of Manhattan was without power during Superstorm Sandy. That campus had electricity, heat, and hot water. It became a beacon of refuge during the height of the storm. That NYU campus kept the lights on. In addition to delivering on energy efficiency and resiliency, the NYU Washington Square plant also delivers $5 million in annual energy savings. So it both reduced carbon and saved money for NYU. On the other hand, NYU Langone Medical Center did not have CHP. It lost all power, knocking out its communication system and leading to the dangerous forced evacuation of critical care patients on gurneys and in dozens of the ambulances. In response to its experience at the two campuses, NYU selected Veolia to support development and operations of a new CHP energy plant for the NYU Langone Medical Center campus. It will be completely self-sufficient in the event of a utility power interruption. In the future, NYU Langone will have a resilient and efficient energy supply with a lower carbon footprint, and will also be able to keep the lights on during the next Sandy. When we consider industrial energy efficiency, the price of inaction, such as the $540 million in FEMA-funded repair work at Langone, needs to be considered in the cost-benefits analysis. Project finance traditionally fails to factor in that value of resiliency. For example, there are costs of systems failure, $20 billion for business interruption during Sandy, billions of gallons of raw and partly treated sewage were dumped into the waterways during the storm. There are costs, these are the costs that energy efficient resilient CHP would avoid. That just illustrates one example of many of our customers have experienced reducing carbon using CHP and providing for industrial energy efficiency. So thanks, and back to you, Kevin.
All right. Well, thank you. That concludes remarks. We'll now open the line to questions from reporters. Operator, you're free to take over.
Thank you. And we'll now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you wish to be removed from the queue, please press the pound sign or the hash key. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up your handset first before dialing the numbers. Once again, if you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. And we're standing by for any questions. And it looks like we have no questions at this time.
All right. Well, with that, then, thank you all who have joined the call today. If you have any questions whatsoever or would like to follow up with any of our speakers, feel free to contact me at Kevin, K-E-V-E-N, at kevinkennedy.com. My number is also 202-276-3159, and we'll be happy to get you in touch with any of the speakers in follow-up. So thank you again to all who joined, and we'll look forward to speaking with you again sometime soon.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference. Thank you for joining. You may now disconnect.